outer curriculum share. Today we're going back to our halachas. We spoke two times ago, we spoke about negel vasa, we spoke about what we do when we wake up in the morning, how to wash our hands. We're now, no, it doesn't. Oh, it's a pleasure, you can move it away. Everyone can hear me, right? Today we're going to continue and learning the different halachas. We're going to speak about washing our hands in other situations. As we know, Yiddishkeit demands from a Jew to be clean. And this is very important to know. Jews are never supposed to be dirty or stinky. And this might sound sounds a bit bizarre to people, but one should know there's a big inyan in Yiddishkeit, not just spiritually, but also from a hygienic point of view, in a Kiddush Hashem, of constantly being clean. That's why, for example, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Neubach, Zecher Tzadik L'Brach, paskens that even on Tisha B'Av, you are allowed to use yogurt. Why? Because a person who has body odor, it's not something that other people are supposed to suffer from. Same thing about washing your hands. Jews have always been so clean that over the generations, there have been pogroms because of Jewish cleanliness. Example, there were many diseases. One of them was known as the Black Disease, the Black Plague, which happened in Europe, more or less in the area of the 1500s, 1600. The Jews were not as affected from that disease as the non-Jews were, and the reason was because the level of hygiene among the Jewish population was much higher. Jews washed their hands whenever they come out of the bathroom. Jews were marked very much to have at least one weekly shower. And that was before Shabbos going to Mikvah. The Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik L'Brach, writes about himself that if he didn't even have to have a shower once a week, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him, he never ever perspired, nor ever did he have any body odor. And the only reason he used to go to Mikvah and to wash himself every single Shabbos, every single day of Shabbos, was because that's what the Rambam Paskens is supposed to do. Now, there are other situations that we need to wash our hands. We know many of them. We come out of the Mikvah, we come out of the bathroom, we go into a graveyard, we touch our shoes, we touch our heads, but there are differences between how we're supposed to wash them. And today we're going to speak about those differences. I'm going to speak about them briefly. There are other situations, except for the morning, that we are supposed to wash our hands 3 times, but not pouring 1, 2, 3 on each hand, but doing it separately. Right, left, right, left, right, left, just like we do negel vasa in the morning. Now, what are those situations? One of those incidences is coming out of the bathroom. Now, it is a machloikis whether when you come out of the bathroom you even have to wash your hands, and even have to do negel vasa. Not everyone agrees with that. The problem is I'm going to be that in our bathrooms today that are extremely clean and white, theoretically, in your average bathroom today, you could have dinner. The average bathroom, you compare it to what used to be 56 years ago, and I don't know. Look, I don't know what your standards are. The first year I went to Uman, we stayed in one of these farmhouses where the bathroom is an outside, I don't know what to call it. It was
outhouse.
I don't even think that outhouse is the correct word to describe what that was. But when you see that and you see what you have in Eretz Yisrael, you can understand that your average bathroom is very clean. So much so that when we put down our toilet lid, everything is clean. We're talking about cleanliness, we're talking about the odors. You can theoretically eat in your bathroom. So Shlomo Zalman says, you don't have to wash your hands at all when you come out of the bathroom. It's enough just to wash them with water in case you're dirty. We don't pass them that way, especially among Hasidim. We're machmir according to the shita of a place called Heichal HaKodesh. Heichal HaKodesh says, you're supposed to wash your hands just like you wash them in the morning. Which means 3 times separately. Right, left, right, left, right, left. The difference is that one, in the morning we said, you're supposed to take the kli, which you wash your hands is, you take it with your right hand and you pass it to your left hand. When you come out of the bathroom, you don't have to do that. Another difference is, halachically, in the morning, if you do not have a vessel to wash your hands from, you can't wash them from a tap. You have to wait till you have a vessel. When you come out of the bathroom and you don't have a vessel, what you can do is, and this is again, you can take your hand, put it under the tap, open it quickly, pour one gush on the right hand, close it. Again, quickly, another gush on the left hand, close it, do it again, right, left. In other words, one doesn't have to have a vessel when you come out of the bathroom, unlike in the morning, when in the morning you have to have a vessel. Now, what other times, what is also equivalent to coming out of the bathroom? Two other examples. One is when you get out of bed, get out of the bathroom, and when you come out of the cemetery. Now, there are many minhagim about what we do when we come out of the cemetery, okay? Or when we were a distance of approximately 1.80 meters from someone who has passed away. Let's say, for example, we had this chus to be nosei amita, the bed bearers. We have to wash our hands. There are many minhagim. A few minhagim that we should know. Minhag number one. When you come out, let's say, of a cemetery, okay, you've been there for mikom, you've been there for the voya, you've been there for your site, you wash your hands three times. Those who are makom in the morning, we said according to the drach, we spoke about it, to wash four hands, we'll also wash here four hands. A few things. One, never hand the vessel over to someone else. The minhag is you do not hand the vessel. You put the vessel down, let him pick up the vessel. Second minhag, we do not what? Some have a minhag to turn it over. That is a minhag which is very common among American Jewry. It's a minhag that comes from Lithuania. They turn it over and they put it on the cap. In Eretz Israel, they're not knowing that minhag. They just don't hand it over. Second thing, you do not wipe your hands. In other words, you wash your hands, you leave them wet. Now, all these minhagim and minhagim that we do not understand, the minhagim according to Kabbalah, things that have got to do with the spiritual realm and being in a cemetery, we don't understand why. Those are minhagim. And the poskim say, do not differ from those in Hogim. A single stripe. Among many Hasidim, there's also a minhag. You come out of the cemetery, you go to mikvah. You go to mikvah and you go to mikvah. Many Hasidim and many Mekubalim had that minhag. They will not enter their homes or won't do anything before again they went to mikvah after being in the cemetery. Now you realize that going to a cemetery is not simple at all. Not simple whatsoever. Especially for women. Going to a cemetery for women, okay, is the taking a woman and putting her inside the entrance of Gehenna. And all the Mekubalim write this. Why? Because in the cemetery there are many negative spiritual influences which women are much more susceptible to. Especially when the woman is pregnant. That is, don't go there. And especially when the woman is in her time of the month, we all know what we're talking about. Please do not bring your child here next. I apologize, I don't mean to insult you. Do not bring your son here next time. There are things that I'm talking to you. Don't bring your son here next time because there are things. What?
He doesn't understand
English. Oh, he doesn't speak
English
at all? Oh. Speaks English. Very good. Okay. He speaks only what's called in Latin the pura lingua. The pure language. Very good. Baruch Hashem. When a woman is needed, she should not enter a cemetery. Now there's a difference between kibre tzadikim and a cemetery. My wife, for example, does not enter cemeteries whatsoever. Ever. Ever. When Mordechai Eliyahu Zecher Tzadik Livracha was a big makubal, was very makbid about it. Women have got nothing to look for in cemeteries. Women constantly ask me, can we go to the cemetery and have a nuchas? There are many kibre tzadikim, there's Mordechai Eliyahu, Lechida, many. And I say to them, kabbalically, no. Halachically, yes. Women have got nothing to look for in cemeteries.
Now, when
we're talking about Kibre Tzadikim is something else. Going into Rashbi, or going in, for example, to the cemetery of the Rambam, where the Rambam is only Kibre Tzadikim, that's different. Going to Rabbeinu in Numan, that's different. But when, because in Rabbeinu, there's a whole separation built between the Tzion of Rabbi Nachman and the rest of the cemetery. But going, for example, to Har Menuchas, to Daven, according to Kabbalah, there's nothing that they need to look for. When we go, if we go, for example, for your site, we come out. As we come out, we wash our hands three times separately with a kli. We don't hand it over to one another. We put it down and we pick it up. We do not wipe our hands afterwards. Now, another example where we need to wash our hands, and that's where we need to wash our hands three times. We do it. One, two, three. One, two, three. Not separately, but three times on each hand. First of all, is when we eat. Before we do the Tulas Yadayim. Now, there are different minhagim, how you're supposed to wash your hands before you eat. We're going to speak about them. We passed them, in my house, I passed them according to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We have an interesting minhag. I had an interesting story about that, which was something. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says the way you're supposed to wash is you wash once, you wash twice, you then wipe your hands, then instead you wrap your hands, you make the bracha, al Tulas Yadayim, and then you pour it again, one and two. It says that in Siman Mem. When I was young, I was about 18. When I was 18, until I came into Yeshiva, I was a very was a big takif, and not necessarily always the best. And I was at a wedding once, and I washed my hands this way, and I heard someone mocking me. So I says, oh, look what all these Haredim do. Look, this is a joke. I mean, everyone of them has his own minag. He makes up his minag about how to wash his hands. Who's there to sing that? And he was laughing in front of all his friends. Okay. At that time, as I said, I was a big takif. And I waited till he went and sat down with all his other friends at the table. And I came to him. He was a young man. He was about a year older than me. And I said to him, I understand that the Rav Shlita has finished all the Shas B'Iyun with all the poskim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, to know all the Minhagim about Yosef Daim. He said to me, no, not really. I said, I apologize, I understand the Rav Shlita has at least, you know, finished the whole Shulchan Aruch with all the Nosei Kelim to know all the Minhagim. He said, no. I said, I understand that at least the Rav Shlita has gone over all the Hilchos to Kilas Yadayim with all the different Mefashim to know the Shitas. And he says, no, not really. I said to him, do you hear what you're saying? I said to him, you yourself have just now testified. You're not even an Amaret. You're stupid ignorance. On you shall even have said the poster. Gam evil macharish lechachamim chashev. An idiot who's silent will at least be considered cool, but who's going to be smart? Because as long as you shut your mouth, no one will know how stupid you really are. I said, you have just now testified, you're an absolute idiot and an ignoramus with everything that's got to do with Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. So how can you stand there and say that the minag that I do, which is a kitzur shulchan aruch mefoirash, which he wrote his book, as you know, for young children and for kids, which obviously we're not even at that medical level. So how can you mock the minag of the kitzur shulchan aruch? I said to him, and he went completely white in front of all of this, and I said to him, I'd like to give you a piece of advice for the rest of your life. Cut your tongue out, or shut up. Because whenever you open your mouth, everyone will just see what an idiot you really are. Now, I'm not saying that I will do that now. I'm much older. But I went to one of my rabbonim, and I asked him, because this was mamish, Mabim Bnei Chavir Barab. And I asked him, did I do the right thing? And he said, yes, you did. He said, it's a pity you didn't do it more harshly. I said, why? He said, if he was mocking you on a personal level, he said you should have shut your mouth. And sat with the bizon. But he wasn't speaking about you. He was speaking about a minhag of the kids of Shulchan Aruch. That's already mocking one of the poskim of Am Yisroel. He said, for that, there's no mechila, there's no slicha. There's no malbim pnei chavira bareva when someone mocks halacha. He's an idiot, and someone had to put him in his place.
Even if it's a father or older brother?
What?
Even if it's your older brother or mother?
If it's your father, we have a halachic stipulation how to tell our father that something's wrong. You can say to your father, father, I think I still listen to this. Let's read it. He was not my father, he was not my older brother, he was not my family relationship, and according to behavior, I don't even know if it was Am Yisroel, it's probably from one of the Erevim. So I had no connection with him whatsoever, so I could just...
Can you say
no, your father, you've just got to open the kids of Shulchan Aruch and show your father and say, maybe I misunderstood or something. I don't know. Again, no, I'm saying, at my age today, I wouldn't have done. I've changed. I've become more moderate, you know.
I'm saying, if I'm in a subject that I might embarrass him, can I still do it?
No, but the way to do it to your father, the halacha stipulated, this is the Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, you say to your father, father, I think I read this in the kids of Shulchan Aruch. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's read the kids together. See, maybe I was wrong, maybe not. That is not a way of embarrassing your father, because you read it and your father sees it in the kids. He'll see it to me now. One's got to be very careful when you speak about Minhagim and other people in Amisur. Sort of check them. Because you never know when you're going to meet a young me who's in a really bad mood and is just insulted. So, not good. But again, I as you can see, I'm telling this story. I wouldn't do the same thing today, but I do not regret what I did then. Because you do not mock Allah. And if you don't know Minhagim, keep silent. There are times where we need to only wash our hands, and we don't even have to use a clean, we can wash them once. And the reason we wash them is simply to be clean. For example, we touch our shoes. Halachically, when we touch our shoes, we do not have to wash our hands using a vessel. There are people who are machmir. From the Ikra Halacha, you've just got to wash your hands. You touch your hair, you've got to wash your hands. Now, Hasidim are much more machmir about it. The Hasidic Minhag is for all these things, we wash our hands 3 times. That is the Hasidic Minhag. Again, it's a Minhag, it's a Chumrah, even if you don't have enough water or you don't have a vessel, you can be made. Okay. Yes?
What about beer?
What?
Beer?
Beer?
Beer.
Touching your beard?
Yeah.
The only problem with touching your hair is touching your hair that's covered by your yarmulke. In other words, the bigger your yarmulke, which is the way it's going to be, we're going to speak about that soon, about a head covering, the bigger your yarmulke, the more hair you're not allowed to touch. Halachically, people do not understand why they don't have the ability to sit and learn properly for a long time. And the Mekubalim write, it's because we are all inflicted with impurity. We don't even realize this. You sit in a shir, and your head itches, and you put your hand under your yarmulke and you scratch, finished. You've touched a place which is considered to be halachically impure. You've got to clean your hands. How do you clean them? Pshat halacha, you've just got to go wash your hands. According to Hasidim, you've got to wash them 3 times. You don't realize this. And it makes no difference whether you do have hair under your yarmulke or you don't have hair under your yarmulke. It's considered to be a covered place. Now, the same thing is with your clothes. Let's say, for example, now I'm itching. Now, okay, we all wear tzitzis and vet, so if I go like this, that's fine. But sometimes, you put your hands in and you itch and you touch your body. Like the example there. You put your hand under your shirt and you scratch your back. That is considered to be a covered place. You have now got to go and wash your hands. You scratch your legs, you lift up your trousers, and you've left your trousers, and you scratch your leg. You have got to go wash your hands.
What?
Oh, we have an Indian of midi demenake, which means that when, if it's only because of cleanliness, we can scrape it on a wall, we can rub it on a wall just to clean it. But the problem here is, the Mukubolim say, touching all these places in the body is not just an issue of cleanliness. It's an issue of a place which is considered to be on a lower spiritual level, maybe even a level of impurity, which means that you have now touched a place. Let me give an example, okay? Imagine if you are now all lawyers, you're coming to court, and you are wanting to present your case in front of the judge, and your wife has made you this wonderful, wonderful sandwich. I mean, oh, something with the delicacy. Talk about a good schnitzel, a good Heinz ketchup, okay? And we're talking about excellent mayo, lettuce, and you've just now eaten it, and your whole hands are like... Imagine your hands are like this, and you're coming to the judge, and you know, you're picking up all the documents and saying to him, here, please, Your Honor, you know, take it. Is anyone ever going to do that? You will go outside. You would wash your hands with soap very well, make sure that you smell well. You'd even take out your spray and put it in your mouth so you smell clean. Learning Torah is no different. Now, halachically, there's no difference, kabbalically, there's no difference from scratching yourself under your trousers than from touching a sandwich and having your hands filled with ketchup and mayonnaise. And the Mukubolim say that's one of the reasons, that's one of the main reasons why people are unable to understand what they learn, and learning is doesn't become part of it, because their hands, they're not pure enough. They're not pure enough. And a lot of us don't notice this. I see many people learning that. It's a natural instinct. You scratch yourself under your shirt, under your yarmulke. You don't realize that that's going to stop. You want the level of impurity? Go wash your hands. And eventually it will become a minhag. You won't tap those places while you're in.
And if it's not under your yarmulke, you can ignore it. It's fine. It's not a problem.
As long as it's not under your yarmulke, there's no problem. In other words, you can scratch like this. I can scratch here. No problem whatsoever.
You scratch with your yarmulke.
What? Scratching also with your yarmulke is excellent, as long as your hands are not touching your head. No problem.
Can you move it?
What?
Can you
back of the neck, as long as it's above the line of your shirt, it's fine. Under the line of your shirt, even the post can say, even under the line, as long as it doesn't go under the line of the collar. In other words, what's sewn here. Even this part is fine. Under the line of the collar is not fine anymore, because how do we know that? We see many times people will wear a t-shirt, or they'll wear a pajama shirt that doesn't have a collar. So the problem is only under the line of the seam here. Yes?
If a rabbi is teaching Torah, and he scratches his head,
you don't say anything to him.
No. Does he have a leniency to not be told?
Yes, he has a leniency not to go and to go wash his hands. Yes, because in the middle of a shiur, especially if he's now on the camera. Sorry, I scratched my head once again. Yes, he does that. But I'm just saying, we as people who learn Torah and want Torah to become part of us, we need to notice these little things.
No, but it's better for him to just keep teaching.
Yes, better for him to keep teaching.
All right.
Yes.
What?
You can, and your hands will be considered to be clean, but your hands will not be considered to be pure. Last question, we have to go on. We'll keep the questions for the last 5 minutes, which is not very long.
Yes. The place covered with a hat and the yarmulke is different?
Yes, yes. Places covered with a hat, especially if your hat is bigger than your yarmulke, yes. Bein Inyan is the yarmulke itself, unless you walk around all day with a hat on, like the Gerei Hasidim. For example, the Gerei Hasidim are very makshid about that. They walk around with a hat most of the day. But the main issue is the yarmulke. So if we're talking about a hat, let's speak about a hat. We know that as Yidden, we have to carve our heads. Why do we carve our heads? We carve our heads because the Gemara says in Shabbos, in the 156th page on the second side, the Gemara says that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who was supposed to be a thief, he was told, his mother was told by the sages of that kind, cover his head so that your son shall have Yiras Shamayim. And one day the Gemara says that his yarmulke fell off his head, and he was standing next to a palm tree. He climbed up to a palm tree. With his teeth, he plucked out a whole group of dates and climbed down. And he stole those dates, which weren't his. Which means a yarmulke is an inyan of Yiras Shamayim. You have to cover your head with a yarmulke. That is a minhag that's been accepted in Am Yisrael, but all of Am Yisrael know it. So much so that you'll see when people are starting their path in tshuva, a yarmulke, which is only drabonon or mainly chassidus, is more important than the tzitzis, which is a mitzvah to arise. So a yarmulke today has become an accepted meat. Now there are also halachas about a yarmulke. A yarmulke which is the size of a coin of a shekel is not good. No. Why is it not good? It's not because of the size. The halachic stipulation of a yarmulke is that a yarmulke has to be seen from every side eye to look at your head. Which means, even if you have an average size yarmulke, but you have the tendency of putting it right at the back of your head, and you see sometimes people who like wearing it right at the back, it's like it covers their head and part of their neck, and they put it there with a clip. Even if the yarmulke is the size that could theoretically cover your whole body, it's not good enough, because when I look at you straight, I don't see you wearing a yarmulke. Which means, therefore, each one of us needs a different size yarmulke according to his head shape and according to the size of his head. The yarmulke has to be seen from all sides. When I look at you straight, when I look at you sideways, when I look at you backwards. Which means, those people, for example, if you have that people who this is a style, I don't know what it's called, those ones with not the locks, it's like squished, big, revolting hair that they don't comb and they don't wash.
Dreadlocks.
What?
Dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks. It's a wonderful name. Dreadlocks. Very good. They really are dreadlocks. Okay, so those people who have dreadlocks, and they take a yarmulke and they put it on their head, and it's like a nest, like a bird's nest, and it just sinks down. And unless you stand over them and you look, you can't see they're wearing a yarmulke. That halachically doesn't qualify, irrelevant to the yarmulke size. The yarmulke must be seen. Now, in our yarmulkes today, especially now, one of the advantages, and now again, I'm not speaking here about knitted yarmulkes, black yarmulkes, we're not getting into that issue. One of the advantages of the black yarmulke halachically is there is an inyan, according to most posting, to have two covers on your head at the same time. Now, if you will see in your black yarmulke today, there's an insert line. Please demonstrate. Very good. Take it out. Pull out the lining. Very good. Why is that? Why does that lining exist? The reason the lining exists is not for the shape of the yarmulke. It exists for a halachic chumra. It's always considered to be two head coverings. Now, that is a chumra. So you can ask, what would all the Yerushalmim do? The Yerushalmim who have the original yarmulke, who's a knitted, who's only one level. Well, that's not a problem, because the Yerushalmim are very, very makdim whenever they daven, whenever they bench, whenever they do anything that's got to do with Kedusha. They wear a hat on Shabbos, they wear a shtreimel over the yarmulke, because they've always got two head coverings. Now, that's also one of the reasons why, in Am Yisrael, there was always the minhag of wearing a hat, but one should know the minhag has changed. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch speaks about it in two places about wearing a hat. He speaks about the beginning of Siman Yibes, and he speaks about it in Siman Mem Dalet. In Sif Vav, he speaks about Berachas Hamazon. There are two reasons. One is a historical reason, and the other is a halachic kabbalah. The historical reason is, 50 years ago, 80 years ago, no man who respected himself would walk out of his house without a hat. It didn't exist. If you see pictures of all your grandparents, people in America, everyone, a hat.
Everyone
wore hats. Not going out the street without a hat was considered to be cross. It's what a simple, common person does. It wasn't considered to be respectful behavior. Since we halachically, whenever we do anything with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether when we daven, whether when we bench, we have a mitzvah which is called Kikol Nigrat Elohecha Yisrael. We have to respect Hashem and stand in front of him as if we're standing in front of a king or a president. So we need to dress the way we dress when we all speak to a Mechubadik person. Would you, for example, go and speak to Rav Arush wearing short trousers and a t-shirt, okay, and a flipped over baseball cap? The answer is no. So you're not allowed to daven that way also, because Hashem's Baruch is much more important than Rav Arush. You would go to Rav Arush wearing a top coat and a hat. That's the way you have got to daven. But that also means that if it's the historical reason, and that's what the Kitzur Shor, that's what the Mishnah Brura writes, he brings it in Siman Tzadik Aleph and Siman Katan Yud. He says it all depends on the place you're at. In Eretz Yisrael, where many people do not wear hats and do not wear suits, and that's the way they would stand in front of the president or in France if a king, people who, that's the way they dress, have got a heter not to wear a hat or not to wear a suit, also when they're davening. They still have to have respectful clothing according to their standards. But that only answers the historical reasoning. There's another reason. The reason is, as I've said, a kabbalah reason. There's an inyan. Whenever we're doing anything with kedusha, to have two coverings on top of our head. Why is there an inyan of having two coverings on top of our head? The reason is, kabbalically, we know that there are four negative spiritual influences, which anything is affected by those four negative spiritual influences. In order to obtain spirituality, we need to cancel those four spiritual negative spiritual influences. Let's see. How many coverings do we have on our head? Okay? We have the bone, which covers... We're talking now about the mind. The mind has got two coverings. The mind has the skull, which is bone, and the mind has what? The scalp, which is the skin. The hair is connected to the skin. It's not considered to be a separate covering. Therefore, we need to have another two coverings to protect our mind, to annul those four negative spiritual influences, to have altogether four positive coverings which cover and protect our mind. There are the Kubalim that held that you don't have to have two head coverings, you have to have one, because they consider the hair to be separate to the actual skin.
What's the four?
What?
Well, the bone and the skin, that's two.
Bone, skin, and two other coverings on top of your head. Your yarmulke and other coverings, that's four.
It's a four negative.
What?
Four negative.
No, there are four negative sleepers. We're not going to get into them. We're not talking about the negative ones.
We want to know the people.
You don't need to. Yes. Sleepers negative.
The membrane that's on the brain doesn't.
No, that is not considered to be. Now, again, it's a big machloikas kabbalically. How many coverings does the head have?
In Kashrus,
yes, I know. In Kashrus, we've got to take it off. He's asking a good question. In Kashrus, we know that we have to take off the membrane covering the brain, but that's not for that reason. The reason we take off the membrane is because the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, Pastans, and Yoredan, Siman Samechei, and Sif Beis, that is a place which is considered to have lots of blood in it. So you take it off because of the blood, not because it's a covering to the brain. There are many things that you, for example, do you take off the skin of the chicken? Why? Because the skin of the chicken. The reason you don't take it off is because the Prima Godim says in Siman Yisamechtes, in Sif Katan Beis, that chickens don't have any blood on them, on the skin. So you can have the skin. So it's a whole different... But the membrane is not considered to be. So we have our head with two coverings. So therefore, if we take the Kabbalic spiritual influence, even if it's not your custom to wear a hat over your head, you still have to have four coverings in order to have high spirituality. Now... No. Now what? Oh, because the hat answers also the historic reason. Now, if we'll see, especially in the Haredi world, everyone wears hats. In other words, the reason today for wearing a hat is, first of all, especially among the Yerushalmim, many of the Yerushalmim do not wear black hats, do not wear black yarmulkes. They wear the knitted white yarmulke, which only has one cover. That's why they might think worse to wear another hat to have four coverings. But also from a historical reason, in the Haredi world, it is not accepted to walk around without a hat. Go here to Mesh Orim, go to Bet Shemesh, go to Kiryat Sefer. Everyone in the Haredi world, well, nearly everyone, wears a hat at least when they go down. It is considered to be part of your dress wear. Now let's look at Gedolei Yisrael. If we look at Gedolei Yisrael, who do you know of Gedolei Yisrael that doesn't wear a hat? You can find one or two, but it will be very difficult. Even the Moroccans who do not wear the standard, you know, black hat, they have their own hat. The Baba Sali used to have the special covering which he put over his head. The Rabbi Mashash, Rabbi Shalom Mashash, used to have the special Moroccan hat, the Rabboni, which was like a tarbush, divided into two colors, black and red. In other words, it is always, look at Araboni. So therefore, wearing a hat is not just a historical reasoning, it's also a spiritual reasoning. So one should realize that wearing a hat, especially when one davens, when one ventures, and according to many Hasidim also, when one learns. There are many Hasidim when they learn, they are makpid to wear their top coat, and if they wear a gartel, they wear a gartel while learning, and they wear their hat. They will not remove their hat while they learn. Now that's not the minhag and dress, but I'm just saying, we now start to understand a bit better what this whole reasoning of clothing is. The clothing in Am Yisrael, in Yiddishkeit, is considered to be something very holy, very spiritual, very meaningful. It's not a joke. It's not necessarily things that have got to do with tendencies of fashion. Okay? Bezrat Hashem, we're going to be continuing speaking the next year about more things about halakhas, about clothing, how to get dressed, how to get undressed, and what clothing are we not allowed to wear halakha. I'm going to bid you all a good afternoon. I'm back and welcome. We're going to have a nice and minor Twitter.